Round 12 in the books. Welcome to another edition of the Queensland Huddle. Liam Flanagan here. Only one game to talk about this week with the Brisbane Lions having had the bye, but welcoming in a man who I imagine is just chock full of sun fever. Brett Thomas, how are you, Bretto?
Hello, Flanners. Those bright future Suns, equal with eighth spot, fair percentage behind the Cats, but how about them? I have to admit, tip the Crows because so often
Boo.
When the Suns have a good win...
I don't want to hear your justifications. What do you mean you tipped the Crows?
How many times have we talked about a Gold Coast Suns good win and they back it up with a loss? And I thought, here we go again. But they got it done. Unbelievable. And Lukosius was the man.
You should be embarrassed. I tipped the Suns. I tipped them with full confidence, knowing that that's their second hometown, TIO Stadium in Darwin. They dominated. The irony, of course, is, look, they, for those that missed it, 112-87, they came home with a wet sail just like they did the week before against the Western Bulldogs.
I can't think of too many Suns games where they've come back from bigger margins than that. They were 35 points down, and then somehow they drag themselves back into that. Ben Long did an amazing job on Isaac Rankin. And I did wonder, was Rankin the right player for them to let go? Obviously, huge money, 800 grand a year that Adelaide threw at a young player. But I thought maybe it should have been Lukosius. I didn't quite see what he could develop into. But they certainly made the right call going on Saturday night's game.
We can have a little bit of a debate about the Isaac Rankin. I was on a text message with a few Adelaide supporters, that being my hometown, and their thoughts on Isaac Rankin. We can get to all that, but let's talk about the Suns for a moment because, I mean, it was far more dramatic, the comeback, than the one they had against the Western Bulldogs, but there were eerie similarities in terms of, especially with the Jack Lukosius goal fest and the Matt Rowe second half renaissance.
Yeah, and Bailey Humphrey stepping up at the right time too. I mean, it was just before halftime. They bring it back to 17 points. They have a bit of momentum. Their tails are up going into halftime, and then they just rolled on with it. And then the Crows were looking flat-footed and a bit just flat in general. So Matt Rowe and Noah Anderson, that 1-2 punch in the midfield, still no Took Miller. They're developing into blossoming into an elite midfield.
Mm. And I think what I liked perhaps even more about Matt Rowe's performance in this game compared with the weekend before against the Dogs is that Matty Nix tried to fix it. Matty Nix sent Ben Keys to him. I thought Ben Keys actually did a pretty good job. He sent Ben Keys to Matt Rowe and said, make him work the other way. Make him be defensively accountable. Ben Keys popped forward, kicked the goals. We know he's great on the goal assist for the Crows. But still, Matt Rowe was that contested beast. And even though he had a much more accountable opponent than the week before against the Dogs, he was still the spark that drove the Suns back into the game.
Well, that's probably, if you to design a player, a perfect player to break a tag, it'd be the Matt Rowe type. If you're first to the footy and leading your opponent in, I mean, that's the best way to make them pay. And he had a bit of practice with that a couple of weeks ago in the Q clash where Josh Dunkley was mining him for most of the game, face guarding him at some of those stoppages. And so against Ben Keys, I guess he kind of, you know, was knew what was going to come. And as he said, just won clearance after clearance. And he is he's phenomenal.
The rest of the game as well, Charlie Ballard, just if you listen to the commentary on the television, you can see that Charlie Ballard's reputation is finally starting to catch up with what he's actually doing on the field. You feel like that the commentary team, the special comments teams are finally acknowledging what a dominant intercept defender this young man is.
Well, they're an AFL outpost, the Suns, aren't they? So it's easy to go unnoticed, but just the numbers, if you just looked at his pure stats after the game, you never saw him play, you go, wow, this guy must be doing something pretty special. And intercept, you know, defenders have become so critical in the game now, how, you know, every team basically has one. And Charlie Ballard is it for the Gold Coast Suns. They keep playing like this, they keep winning. He's in the conversation for All Australian, at least in the squad of 40.
Yeah, I guess the difficulty is you look at where they are on the ladder, and that's probably what precludes him from being, putting alongside the Darcy Moores and the Alir Alirs and some of the key defenders from those teams that are at the pointy end of the conversation. But again, he did his job really well. I still really like the way Ben King is moving. You think back to that game we called very start of the year when Ben King finally came back and he looked all at sea. He was a baby giraffe. This is a guy who missed all of last year with that knee injury. And now he is that big key forward that moves so well and is an absolute nightmare for opposition key defenders.
Well, what a luxury for Stuart Jew, the way Lukosius is playing, that Ben King can just drift along quietly, kick his two or three goals a game, and he's kicked 3, 2, 3, and 4 in the last month of footy, clunking them as well. So what a luxury to have those two playing so well up forward. And, you know, maybe now it makes the opposition rethink, who do they send their best defender to? Is it Ben King or is it, you know, the red-hot boot of Jack Lukosius?
I liked as well that they got this performance under their belt and still in the lead-up to the game were able to send something of a message to the group and to the broader organisation and the fans and all the rest of that, all those clichés around Mac Andrew, dropping him based off not meeting standards in the lead-up to the game.
Yeah, and look, that's something in terms of setting a culture that the Suns just had to do. Obviously, there's a go-home fear that if you punish some of their players, they just go straight to their manager and say, you know, what offers have we got on the table from Victorian clubs or clubs back home? That is a sort of standard setter that says that we're not going to accept that. And, you know, they do have guys, because they're playing well, they have guys in the VFL who can come up and play a role. Jai Farah came in for Mac Andrew. You can see that Mac Andrew is a talent, but as a young man, he's now done a couple of silly things off the field. So hopefully now he's learned his lesson.
We should, look, no Brisbane Lions to talk about this week, so we're going to have some fun in the second half. But quickly, while we are staying on the Suns and this win, just for context, I guess, they now sit 11th, right? Yep. They're equal. They're outside the eight on for and against. Mm-hmm. They've got a beautifully symmetrical for and against right now, exactly 100. They've scored 991 points. They've conceded 991 points. There's something about my ADHD brain that really likes that. But they are, it's the same number of points they were at this time last year, but they were a game outside the eight. You know, eighth spot was about 28. I had a look at the season. They've got 6 wins under their belt. To guarantee finals, you probably want to have 13. I think you're going back and looking through the years, you've scraped into the finals in some years with 12 wins, but I think to guarantee yourself finals, you probably want to have 13 wins. So looking at the back end of the year for the Gold Coast Suns, they need to find 7 more wins.
Yeah, and look, they've got the bye this weekend. They come off fresh against the Blues, who we know how they're going at the moment, awfully. So that's at the MCG. They get that, their tails will be up. Then they get the Hawks at home. You have to pencil them in for a win there.
Yep.
Then massive. Round 16, Heritage Bank Stadium against the Pies, top of the table. I think if they were to beat the Pies, then all of a sudden people would really start to take notice of that team and that they are, you know, a serious contender to make the eighth this year.
But even if they don't, if you break down that the block of four after the bye, they've got the two games, as you say, Carlton and Hawks, they need to win them because then they take on the Pies and Port, two top four sides. If they halve that block of four, then they find themselves come up against St Kilda and the Giants, then they've got a Q clash and then the Crows. All of a sudden, you really do count down the wins, and it's those 50-50 games. It's the games against the Giants, and it's the games against the Crows, and it's the games against Sydney Swans, and they get Carlton twice in the back half of the year. They need to win them. The finals is there if they can present the best version of themselves after the bye.
Yeah, as you say, it's going to be a crowded ladder, especially around that 7th, 8th spot. So they have to take care of the teams first off below them, but then around them as well, because yeah, toward the pointy end of the year, and they've got some percentage to make up. Obviously, Freo mm-hmm. above them have a game in hand, but they're almost 19% behind the Cats, who are in 8th. Geelong, we know they're not going to be in 8th for too long. They have so many games at GMHBA Stadium at the Cattery, so they're going to win a lot more. But those teams around that 8th spot, they've got to start banking some wins. And when they play the likes of Hawthorn, they need to really put them to the sword and boost that percentage.
They need to win and win well. All right, enough of the Suns focus. We are going to talk about a few individual players after the break, and I want to have a bit of a get your thoughts, Brett, on the Lions and what the back half of the year looks like for them, a team we think should probably get to a grand final in 2023. It's the Queensland Huddle on Triple M. Queensland Huddle on Triple M. Liam Flanagan and Brett Thomas here, breaking down all things South East Queensland football. The Brisbane Lions had the week off. The Suns going back-to-back wins up in Darwin after defeating the Dogs last week. They triumphed over the Crows again on the weekend. And I can tell you, for any Crows people fans that are listening, Brett, the amount of umpire abuse I received on text message, I will say there were some iffy calls that went in favour of the Suns this weekend.
Yeah, well, look, there were some calls the week before that against the Dogs that went against them as well. So I guess that's just the rub of the green. But, yeah, I think maybe Adelaide needs to look at when they were 35 points up, some of the things they were doing wrong after that, how they weren't able to get Isaac Rankin into the game, how Bailey Humphrey can kick such an important goal, and how they couldn't stop Matt Rowell in that third quarter. So I think the Crows have more to worry about than the umps.
I do. Before we finish up today, I am going to give an update on the Bailey Humphrey hype train, because I've done some research, and I tell you what, the bandwagon is getting bigger for this young man week by week. Just remember where it all started. Let's talk Lions. They've had the weekend off. From my sources around the River City, some of the Lions boys were enjoying State of Origin Game 1 last Wednesday in a pub, just soaking it in Cannon Hill, just watching Queensland triumph. I know Charlie Cameron loves his rugby league. Where are they at for you? Mid-year break, they got they're entrenched in the top four, but they're coming off a loss against the Crows. Where are they at right now for you?
Well, I think it's the Lions and the Pies, top two at this stage of the season. But as we've spoken about, there's an impatience with the Lions. We want to see them against the top four teams away from home, and then we want to see them get to those do-or-die finals, because the last few years they've had these kind of winning streaks of 7-8, you know, type of matches, and then the wheels get a bit wobbly toward the end. So we think that they've gotten better because of Dunkley coming into the side, Ashcroft as well, as a high draft pick, father-son recruit, and Joe Danaher's kicking straight. Can they keep it going for a full season? Such a long year. Their VFL side is, you know, flying at the moment. So be interesting to see how much Chris Fagan changes his lineup. They're going to get tired. They're going to have to make changes at some stage. But whether he wants to see what else he's got that he may need to call upon in September. You've got Kai Lohman kicking 7 goals in the VFL. Does he try and sneak him in and just, you know, make those guys in the senior team remember that there are guys underneath who could push them out and just make them, you know, that just on their toes? You know, maybe it's a Lincoln McCarthy. We say, listen, we want to see some of your defensive pressure along with flying for the ball, because we've got young guys here who are ready to step straight in.
And you get the sense that's going to be the key, is that hard-nosed defensive edge to their game when it comes to finals. So you'd imagine Fags probably wants them playing a bit of finals football, especially early in this back half of the year, which is soft. Their run out of the bye is relatively soft. They have Hawks away this weekend, then they take on the Swans, the Saints, the Tigers, the Eagles, before they face up against another top four side, Melbourne, in round 18. So you'd want them to come out of the blocks against the Hawks. You'd want them to get straight back to winning ways. And by the time they come up against the D's and then the Cats in round 19, they're almost locked into a top four spot, almost locked into a double chance and potentially home finals as well.
Yeah, and you want top two, don't you? Because then you get two, you start the finals at home and then either a home semi or a home prelim. The Hawks, you know, they're a typical kind of young bottom side. They beat the Saints, then they are absolutely, you know, blown apart by the Power. So you'd expect, although it's in Tassie away from home, there'd be no match for the Lions, fresh off a bye. And, you know, as we mentioned, let's hope that Joe Danaher can continue playing the way he is, and maybe Jack Gunston starts to hit a bit of form as well. You know, aging body, he's had a chance to relax and refresh over the break.
Be interesting to see if Fags picks him this week against his old side. That's one point I did want to make as well. The whole Chris Fagan, the Hawthorn investigation being put to bed by the AFL. You hope, from just purely from a football perspective, not talking about all the other issues involved, but from a Brisbane Lions footballing perspective, you hope that gives him a little bit of focus and allows him to get the best out of this side on the run home. Before we finish up, obviously the Suns going into a bye, so it'll be a shortened version of the Queensland Huddle again next week with just one game to talk about. Let's go back to the Bailey Humphrey hype train. It begins and ends here on the Queensland Huddle. Great news for those of us up the front of the bandwagon, BT, that Bailey has signed a 4-year deal, sees him sticking around on the coast to the end of 2028.
Yep, no brainer. We're going to need another bus for the Bailey Humphrey hype train or bandwagon. We've said he's got a body ready-made to play AFL footy straight out of the gate, and he just keeps bobbing up and kicking important goals at the right time. And what is it with these first-year players that they can step in straight away? We saw yesterday the Kangaroos and Essendon, how well George Wardlaw's playing.
He's an impressive young footballer.
Yeah, it looks a bit similar to Bailey Humphrey. So key plank of the future, if this is the way he starts, it's scary to think where he could develop to in the years to come.
Here's what I'll say, though. I've gone and had a look at the nominees thus far, and we are pumping him up. We think he's going to be there when the whips are cracking for the voting and the rising star. At the moment, I've got him sitting fourth. I think he's actually fourth in the voting, and I'll tell you why. Harry Sheezel, I know the Kangaroos are down the arse end of the ladder, but he's putting up some big numbers for a first-year player. He has been, I know they're not winning, and you could mount an argument that Bailey Humphrey's playing in a more successful side. His contributions to a winning side should be more impactful from Harry Sheezel, but Harry Sheezel, what he's doing as a first-year player is still very, very good, and he can't be entirely blamed for the Roos loss. I'm not saying he's number one. I'm saying he's in the top three. Will Ashcroft has to still be in the top three at the moment. This young man has just slotted into what could be a grand final team seamlessly. And again, his numbers are very, very good. The other guy I think might be just a touch ahead of Bailey Humphrey, but I think Bailey can go past him, is Michael Annie from the Crows. I think what that young man has done as a lockdown defender this year, as a first-year player, he was the round five nominee, has been very, very impressive. Now, I think the Crows are sliding a little bit. I think the Suns will go past them. So Bailey's in the top four of the 11 nominees so far, but he's got to continue this purple patch that he's in at the moment.
Especially in the back half of the year, you know, that's going to stay in the memory bank of, you know, those who vote on that award. Yeah, you're probably right in that Sheezel, Ashcroft are playing more vital roles for their respective sides, and Michael Henney as a defender, whereas Humphrey as a half forward, as an impact player, you know, maybe not getting the huge numbers that Sheezel does, who, you know, first game they're relying on him to take the kick out. Then he's moved into the midfield. He's been phenomenal, but there's a long way in the season to go, and the way Bailey Humphrey plays, he catches the eye. So it's going to be one of the most hotly contested Rising Star awards we've seen, I reckon.
It's a really good class. It's a really good class of Rising Star nominees. I think that George Wardlaw you mentioned, it probably wouldn't surprise if he had a nomination after the Kangaroos' narrow loss to the Bombers over the weekend. But Bailey Humphrey, in Bailey we trust. I think if he can continue this form for a couple more weeks, he might lock himself into that top three of this Rising Star class. Righto, well, that is it. As we update round 12, we've got the Lions sitting in fourth spot, having come off the bye. We've got the Suns lifting to 11th on the ladder, but level on points with the Cats in eighth. So we've got two Queensland teams very much in the hunt for finals this season. Bretto, we've only got the one game to worry about this weekend when the Lions go away to the Hawks. We will talk about that one next week.
Absolutely. Got on your flanners.